This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and today I am once again delighted to be joined by Paul Lamb for another instalment of the Celtic match-worn jersey podcast, A Strip Down Memory Lane. Paul Lamb, welcome back to A Celtic State of Mind.
Hi Paul, good to be back, mate.
It's an absolute pleasure, as always, to have you. And we have yet another collection of four match-worn jerseys that we're going to discuss today on the podcast. We believe it's the only match-worn jersey podcast, the only podcast dedicated, Paul, to match-worn football jerseys. So well done for you, because you're the guy that's making this happen with your collection. And we'll start off and we'll do this one in date order. The very first jersey, a fan's favourite, and it seems to have gained a cult status over the years, Paul. It's the away jersey from 1996-97. First and foremost, you've got the jersey in front of you. Describe that jersey to us.
The best way to describe it was, remember someone saying back in the day, it was one of two man-made objects that could be seen from space, one being the Great Wall of China and the other being Celtic's new bumblebee strip.
The bumblebee jersey. And again, so popular it was that we tried to re-release an up-to-date modern version. But I think the beauty of this jersey, Paul, was the fact that actually looking at it, it's a wee bit garish when you look at it. It's a bit loud, as you just said.
Just a bit, yeah. It was the first time, certainly for Celtic anyway, that luminous colour had been used on a strip. You know, it was just radical as hell at the time. And like most of the away strips, it had a bit of notoriety, it's divided fans. But as you said, over the years, it's become a cult classic.
It definitely has, and I do remember it coming out, and as you say, there was a few away jerseys around about this time. I think Sheffield United had an Illuminis away jersey, which people were getting mixed up with stewards, you know. It looked as though they were wearing stewards' tops. I mean, the colour of jerseys has sometimes been controversial. I remember Alex Ferguson blaming a defeat at the Dell on the away jersey that was kind of grey. Remember the sharp Viewcam Umbro away jersey? But this one, there's absolutely no way you could miss your target if your teammate was wearing this jersey, because it is loud. But I think the beauty of it, Paul, is it's the hoops.
Yeah, it's the fact that they stuck with the hoop pattern, but for an away shot, which was unusual.
It was, and on the sleeves, the long sleeves. So what we're looking at here is essentially it's a black and yellow hooped away jersey. And the crest, as it was at that time, Umbro had the crest and a big shield. And the shield was another kind of lime green colour, which you also had the trims on the collar in this lime green colour. So we had wee touches, wee flashes of lime green. We had the luminous yellow and then the black. And although it was hoops, I think the first three hoops were quite bold, and then they kind of graded off, didn't they? They got thinner and thinner as the hoops went down the jersey.
Yeah, there's one slightly larger hoop just below the sponsor one, and it features a kind of shading through it where it fades from dark to light and back to dark across it, you know?
Aye, absolutely. I can see that. It's not just It's not a tone. It's not one tone, is it? It's got.
It's not a solid hoop. It's got a variant. It runs down to the other hoops below it as well.
And then down the bottom, which you wouldn't have seen generally, because thinking back to that side, and I mean, if I was to ask you, Paul, to name a few players that this jersey brings to your mind, I think the three amigos certainly are the kind of three jerseys. I'm thinking of the Kilmarnock game at Rugby Park when De Canio made his debut. That this jersey was kind of made famous that day, wasn't it?
Yeah. To me, the first thing I remember when you see this jersey is Paolo De Canio scoring that wonder goal at Pittodrie on Boxing Day, wearing his gold boots.
The golden boots. I've often wondered where those golden boots are, Paul, because I do remember they were sold off for charity shortly after that game. And the lottery winner, John McGuinness, was it John McGuinness? He won about 13 million, didn't he? He was involved with Livingston Football Club. And he was pictured in the paper with his boots. He had bid an astronomical amount of money to get Paolo's golden boots. But I do often wonder where they are now, because I've never seen them popping up on, you know, people's collections on Twitter or in an auction house. I don't know how popular they would be, but they were certainly unique, weren't they?
Yeah, they certainly were. And produced an amazing performance that night. Magical goal.
Paolo's boots were obviously the finest Italian leather. It actually brings back memories of the Paul Elliott story. Paul obviously came over from Pisa, and he used to get the ground staff. Well, he tried to get the ground staff. He says, you know, you can't wash my boots with a scrubbing brush and water and soap. They need to be caressed with baby oil, you know, because they were Italian leather. And I can imagine Paolo De Canio having the same kind of approach to maintaining his footwear.
Oh, definitely.
Another thing I like about this jersey is, although we've got the hoops down the front and the back, the sleeves, and the jersey you've got is a long sleeve version, so all the better, but the sleeves are what you would describe as stripes rather than hoops, aren't they? They just go from the shoulder right down to the cuffs.
Yep.
Do you think that works?
I think it works, definitely. I think it would look odd with the hoops along the sleeve just because of the colourway. Definitely looks better like that, for me anyway.
For a home jersey, I'm guessing it would be too radical, wouldn't it, for the green and white hoops to go down the sleeves like that?
Yeah, I think it's, when it comes to the home jersey, hoops are hoops, no matter
right.
what.
You're absolutely right. Looking at it, Paul, do you think it's aged well? I know that we tried to do a more simplistic version, and some of the players that spring to my mind wearing that jersey are guys like Robbie Keane, for example. He wore the newer version of the Bumblebee. Do you think it's aged pretty well looking back on it? Because I'm now looking at it thinking, I could handle an Adidas remake of this jersey.
Well, definitely. I think the only downside of it is that in recent years, New Balance have done a couple of away strips with a similar colourway, so I think it would be too soon to have something similar again.
No, you're right. I do remember particularly the zigzag effort that we wore primarily in Europe, sometimes with black shorts, sometimes with yellow shorts, and it wasn't a particularly popular jersey, I don't think. I mean, I don't know what markets some of these jerseys are aimed at, Paul. I'm more of a traditionalist, and that was a bit wacky for me. You know, it was almost, again, like a training jersey rather than a Celtic third or European kit. But I'm looking at this, and, I mean, the Umbro double diamond is missing, even though the home jersey had it. So it was, again, it was a bespoke kind of design, because it was just the capital letters of Umbro above the crest as well. I'm not sure if I like that, but if you had the double diamond either side, it would maybe lose a wee bit of its impact because everything else is down the centre.
Yeah, I think it was more to do with the aesthetics of the shirt fitting in there. I can't see the double diamond, as you say, fitting in there.
I don't think it would fit. Now, one other thing I was going to ask in relation to this is one of those jerseys that when you're a collector, I guess, and when I was trying to get the complete collection for the book, this is a jersey that appeared with three different sponsors in its lifetime. So this had three sponsors. So the one you've got is the original C.R. Smith version. We then had Umbro came in, and in between times we had the Celtic FC sponsor, which we've mentioned on previous podcasts. Match worn jerseys can be kind of sought after with three different sponsors, which makes it quite difficult. And I think the Celtic FC one is rather rare. How about the Umbro one? Do you see many of the Umbro sponsored Bumblebee kits?
Only via other collectors. I saw maybe three or four with other collectors. I've not been fortunate enough to find one myself yet, but I've definitely seen them, and they do look smart. I saw a couple of the Celtic FC sponsored ones as well. Not as many as the Umbro, but they are out there.
Aye, they are. But again, The big thing with some of these minor changes is that often the jerseys were not available in replica, were they? So there's very few of the match-worn examples of, you know, maybe a one-season sponsor. And with regards to the crest in the centre, it was the first time in about 20 years that the Celtic crest appeared back in the centre of the jersey. I think I quite like it, particularly for away jerseys. What's your thoughts on the crest in the middle?
Yeah, I do like it. I think it, especially on this shirt, the way it fits in the shield, makes a better feature of the badge.
It does. It certainly does stand out. But the game at Rugby Park is one that I always associate with his jersey. It made its debut for the Mick McCarthy testimonial that he got for the Republic of Ireland in May. And then, you know, 3 months later, we've got Paolo Di Canio coming in for a cameo. He came in and changed the game for half an hour at Rugby Park, and they were wearing this jersey. A great picture of him, Van Hooijdonk, Cadet and Tom all celebrating one of the goals. The jersey just looks tremendous looking back. Tell us a wee bit about the specific one you've got. I know that it's got the number 9 on the back, Paul. Were you able to find out who wore it and in which game?
Unfortunately not. I can't prove that it has actually been match worn. One of the things being, it doesn't have SPL sleeve patches on either arm. It's just a plain shirt. It could possibly have been worn in a friendly game or something like that, but there's no way of knowing. It's a number 9 shirt, so players at the time, like Sir Simon Donnelly, Pierre Van Hooijdonk, possibly have worn it, but for this particular shirt, I don't think there's any way of knowing.
It's unfortunate for the completist nature of a match-worn collector, and also for guys like myself who are trying to document this type of thing, Paul, but a really beautiful jersey all the same. Back then, I mean, you couldn't even say, oh, this was a small jersey. It was worn by Brian McLaughlin, because it appears that everybody wore the same size. You know, Simon Donnelly, Jackie Mack, Brian McLaughlin, they all wore really, really baggy shirts. It's not as if they were, in this day and age, everybody's walking about and it's skin tight. These things were really mega baggy, weren't they?
Yeah, I think it was to do with comfort as well, as much as anything else. Nowadays, the shirts are all tailored and engineered for better performance. Back then, it was just a case of wear a bigger shirt to feel cooler.
And you know what? The new ones, for all the performance criteria, etc., they're no great when, you know, there's no much room for manoeuvre in there, Paul. You know, I play some of these games, these charity games, and yeah, you've got to hold in the old stomach, like, you know. So, moving on to the next one, it's a home jersey. It's the famous green and white hoops. We had a wee chat about this, you and I, because this is the jersey that Celtic fans, generally when you look at it, you relate it to the UEFA Cup final, even though the UEFA Cup final jersey was, in essence, a one-off, because we were coming to the end of our sponsorship with NTL. So you'll notice in the UEFA Cup final in Seville, we're wearing the NTL version of this jersey. But by the time the new season comes around, we've got the Carling sponsor on the shirt. To be honest with you, I prefer the way that the NTL looked on the hoops. But again, that's me with my OCD. I think you mentioned that last week, Paul. I just think the sponsor looked better because the Carling's diagonal and it goes over numerous hoops. Tell us about this particular jersey. I loved the fact that we were celebrating 100 years of the hoops.
It's the 2003-2004 home shirt. Looking at it, it's a more traditional style with the plain, evenly spaced green and white hoops with the round neck collar with a couple of buttons on it. I think it's just a classy looking shirt. It seemed it was only worn for one season, I think, but nonetheless, it's a memorable one.
It is. You know, looking at it now, Paul, it's very similar to the Centenary jersey, isn't it? I mean, the collar in particular is very similar to the Centenary collar with a wee button. You know, I remember the Centenary one had a wee stud. The green and white hoops, we've got 7. I think that was what you said before. 7 and above would be the essential requirements of any designer designing the green and white hoops. This has got the 7 green hoops, which is great. Is there a gradient in the green? Is there a couple of shades in there?
Yeah, it's along the edges, it seems to be darker and it fades lighter into the centre of it.
It is, aye. It really looks good. And then the double diamond of Umbro. At that point, Umbro were putting their logo on without the Umbro writing underneath, and the crest is fully coloured, fully embroidered. It's a stunning jersey, actually, looking at it. I think on the back of it, Paul, there was a nice touch just under the neckline where there was the 100 years of the hoops crest, which was very much like the Centenary one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it features a Celtic cross in the centre of it.
It is a really nice jersey. Probably, looking back now, it's probably one of the best home kits we've had. One of these things, you've got to accept there's going to be sponsors on jerseys. We would all, you know, the traditionalists among us would prefer if the green-white hoops were untarnished, but we know it's a massive part of the financial aspect of the game. But really, looking at this jersey, the simplistic look of it is rather stunning. Now, above the crest, though, Paul, this jersey you're discussing, and we will have images up on a Twitter page, and I'm going to add links onto the bio under the podcast. This was a one-off in that it was played in a very special game. Tell us about the game this particular jersey was used in.
This one is from the Henrik Larsson game versus Seville on the 25th of May 2004.
The 25th of May, obviously, it's a very special occasion in Celtic history, and it was used for this particular game for a very special player. Henrik Larsson, Paul, spent 7 years at Celtic in the number 7 jersey. Therefore, I am going to ask you, was this a testimonial? Because it was my belief that a testimonial is for service to a particular club 10 years or more, and then a game like the Mike Galloway game where his career has ended early, or the John Kennedy game where the career's ended early through injury.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Is a benefit game. Now, I know I'm splitting hairs, but this is important when you're looking at the great scheme of match-worn jerseys. Is this a testimonial jersey?
For me, Paul, I think I'm in agreement with yourself. I'm a traditionalist and believe that a testimonial is granted after 10 years of service, at least for a club. I know people do view it as a testimonial game for Henrik, and if it was after the 7 years of service he gave to the club, there's no denying he deserved it, but I know, it's a bone of contention with a lot of fans, whether it is or it isn't. One story I had heard was that it was part of his contract extension, was agreed that they would have a game for him, golden handshake, if you wish, before he left. Either way, I don't think it really matters. It's just a lost detail. Being a traditionalist, I'd say it's technically not a testimonial.
I think you're probably right. I mean, you look at, for example, if someone signs a new contract, sometimes some of the sweeteners are things like a testimonial match, maybe a DVD, maybe a book. You've seen that in recent years, Paul, where it kind of tops up the deal, so you're getting your weekly, but you know that's DVD or books coming along, and then you've got a testimonial, and that's fine because that's part and parcel of the game. But again, I just want to put it out there because it is one of these things that's important when you're listing things chronologically in a book, which is documenting match-worn jerseys, that we get these things right. Feyenoord were kind of robbed, I think, when we bought Henrik Larsson. Everybody realises it was one of the snips of the history of the club. He more than paid back every single penny of that. No one would argue that he deserved this game. You know, we actually beat Seville, 1-0 goal from Chris Sutton. In terms of the actual choice of opposition, was that just a nod back to the UEFA Cup final, do you think, Paul?
I think possibly, just because it was so soon after the event. I think at the time it was a kind of strange choice. The thought there would have been a bigger name club would have been more preferable for the. But again, I don't think it really mattered who the opposition was. The game was for Henrik, and the stadium would have been filled 3 or 4 times over, no matter what.
Oh, absolutely, and he's always welcome back. Do you think we'll ever see Henrik Larsson back in some capacity at Celtic Park?
It's certainly possible. Whether he manages to get to a level of management where he would be a suitable candidate is debatable. I can't say I've followed his record as a manager, so I couldn't really comment on that. But just to have him back at the club in some form would be a massive boost to everyone.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's got legendary status. He's the modern day legend, isn't he? And there was opportunities for him to leave, and he didn't take them. He stayed for 7 years. Just one final point on this jersey, Paul. Very much like the Bumblebee effort that we've just discussed, there were 3 different variations in relation to the sponsor. We had NTL for the UEFA Cup final. We then reverted to the Carling sponsor, which is the version of the jersey you've got. And then there was an occasion during a North American tour in 2004-05 where we wore a third version, which was the Coors version. Coors Light was on the sponsor. And strangely enough, the Coors Light logo looked pretty good on the green and white hoops, didn't it? It was white, black and red.
Yeah, I think it suited the design rather than the bold black of the Carlin sponsor. The lighter colour scheme certainly suited the shirt from Coors.
I remember thinking that because I'm always one going on about not tarnishing the hoops, and then this kind of colourful sponsor comes in and the styly writing, very Americanized writing as well from Molson Breweries, but then it actually looked really, really good because there's been a couple of occasions where we've worn the Coors and they're very nice, and I managed to get the third kit, you know, the white one with the green and yellow band down the left-hand side. I managed to get one of those for the book as well. In the Henrik Larsson game, finally, Paul, who was wearing the jersey that you have and how did you manage to source this one?
I'm lucky enough to have the number 18 jersey worn by our current manager, Neil Lennon. Mm-hmm. Nice long sleeve version of the shirt as he always preferred to wear. Again, it was one I managed to source from another collector.
It's a beautiful jersey, and I've always preferred the long sleeve shirts myself, Paul. Not to hide tattoos or anything, probably just to hide the skinny arms, you know, but the long sleeve jerseys always look better in my opinion. Going from one of my favourite green and white hooped home jerseys to one that I wasn't a big fan of, I've got to admit. And this is the jersey that we wore from 2010 to 2012. It was released by Nike. Very unusual that we wore it for a couple of seasons. Describe this one to us, Paul.
It's very bland and unimaginative Celtic home shirt from Nike. This one, the plain green and white hoops. Not for everyone's taste. It has a fold-down collar on it with a black V-neck at the front.
You know, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, well, Umbro had been our shirt suppliers right back to the 1930s. That came to an end in 2005. Massive big deal with Nike. And I thought they were doing well. The releases up to this home jersey were promising. Three home jerseys in 5 years. Largely positive reviews from the fans. And then this one come along and I wasn't a massive fan. I think a big part of it was there was a kind of woven pattern, you know, a shading, 1888, repeated diagonally throughout the hoops. It's kind of a pointless detail. You know, I always go on about merchandise, Paul, and the fact that when you go into the Celtic Superstore and when everything says HH, Hail Hail, 88, 1888, CFC, it gets a wee bit repetitive. You know, I just think sometimes the details are just churned out and churned out. And I don't know, what's your thoughts on the use of all that constantly on jerseys and adding wee necklines with 1888 when it's already on the crest, that kind of thing? Are they pointless details?
In some instances, yeah. Like the previous shirt you mentioned with the 100 years of the hoops logo on the back of the collar. There's certain instances where it does add a nice touch to it, but there can be times where the manufacturers just go a bit overboard and sometimes less is more.
Yeah, I agree with you. And on the back of this one, underneath the collar, is Celtic, which appeared in black uppercase letters just underneath. And again, just wee things like that, you wonder what the point of that is. Why tarnish the hoops with writing when the green and white hoops says enough? Again, I've already banged on about the tenants being too high up on the jersey and it splits a green and a white hoop. Probably should have just been sitting on the white one underneath. But this jersey is unique. It was used in a particular game. Tell our listeners, Paul, why this particular version of the jersey is unique.
This particular one features Thai lettering across the back of the shirt, the player's name, and all the players in the game and the squad at the time, their names were written in Thai for this one game.
And what was the reason behind that?
The reason was it was a fundraising initiative for the Thai Tims. I'm sure a lot of people listening will be aware of them, the fans group in Thailand, the young kids who sang all the Celtic songs, YouTube sensation at the time. And it was part of a fundraising initiative to bring a group of the fans over to Celtic Park for a visit.
It was absolutely tremendous, actually, that we made the strips unique. And then after the game, they were auctioned off, weren't they, Paul, to raise funds for the Thai Tims and the great work that was being done with them over in Thailand. So you managed to get a jersey. Tell us whose jersey it was and the actual game itself that it was used in.
The game, it was an away game at Fir Park against Motherwell, most memorably noted as being Tony Watt's debut. He came off the bench and scored 2 goals in 3 minutes, if I remember rightly. It was a great win. The shirt I've got was match prepared that wasn't actually worn in a game. It was number 9 for Georgios Samaras. Didn't feature in the squad that day, but as mostly happens with these one-off shirts, they're prepared for the full squad because obviously you don't know who's going to actually be in the match day team beforehand. So you've got to be prepared for everyone.
No, absolutely. And again, Samaras, it's a player who I was always very fond of. I just find it bizarre. He's only 35 years of age, Paul. When you think about him now, he seems to have been at the game and away from Celtic for ages. That jersey, I do remember it. It was worn in the final league game of the campaign against Motherwell when we beat them 4-0. And the following week, we were playing the same side in the Scottish Cup final. 4 days before, Neil Lennon was attacked on the touchline at Tynecastle, something that would have driven many, many others away from the Scottish game forever. But he came out on the pitch after that final league match and uttered the immortal words, "This isn't the end, it's only the beginning." That particular speech, I remember being there and it just gave you shivers down the spine because you knew Neil Lennon meant it. You know, a lot of people, these things are contrived, Paul. And a lot of big clubs, I think that for merchandising purposes and for soundbite, certain people are told to say certain things. Neil Lennon meant every word of that.
No, most definitely, yeah. It's speaking from my heart that day.
And I think we all knew that good times were ahead after that game, and obviously it has proven to be the case. Now, Paul, we've gone through 3 of your 4 jerseys and we're moving on to another away shirt, which, I mean, I was just discussing this during the week there on Twitter. This is the away jersey from 2012-13. You and I have already stated that was a vintage season for Celtic jerseys, was it not?
Oh, definitely. I think the collection of 3 shirts that season are probably the finest in 20 years at least.
Absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, the one we're talking about today is the black and black, because actually when you look at it, it's black and black hoops. It just looks like a plain black jersey, but it was all black. It was stunning. It was a stunning kit, and I remember the launch of that kit, and it was the likes of Chris Commons and Gary Hooper walking about with their guns out, but the short sleeve shirts were rolled up, and you could see the tricolour underneath.
Yeah, there's a feature on the inside of the sleeve cuffs where if you turn it over, it features a green, white and gold band all the way around, or tricolour if you want.
Kevin McQuillan, who obviously used to work at Celtic Park, he tweeted out after a picture of his jersey appeared during the week, going on about how proud he was, you know, with the three kits that were produced that season. And exactly what you said there, they must be up there with the finest that we've had in living memory. Normally you think, oh, the home jersey is nice, or rarely the third kit, but all three kits were absolutely stunning. This one's got the Celtic band round the crest, and it's done in a kind of grey colour, so it's no subliminal, but it's no in your face. You've got your Lisbon star at the top, and the tenants underneath, which again, it would look even better without, but that's just par for the course. And again, no, Paul, another nice, unique touch to the version that you've got. Tell us about that.
The one I'm lucky enough to have features a logo in between the Knight badge and the Celtic crest. It's a logo from at the time of the Celtic Charity Fund, which is now currently known as the Celtic FC Foundation.
So the crest itself it's still the foundation four-leaf clover, isn't it? But above it says Celtic Charity Football for Good, 1888. And it's one of these one-off jerseys that generally get auctioned off after they're worn. Could you tell us when this one was actually worn, when it was featured, and who pulled this beautiful black jersey on that day?
It was worn by number 16, Joe Ledley. Very unique in that on most match days, especially in the modern jerseys, players have 2, sometimes 3 shirts prepared for a game, yeah. Where in these ones, only 1 shirt for each player featured the Celtic Charity Fund logo on it. And I believe, I don't know whether it's true or not, but I believe the players were told not to swap jerseys at the end of the game because they were going to be auctioned off for the fund.
That's brilliant, Paul. Did you buy the jersey directly after, or have you sourced it since then?
I think the auction happened about 2 weeks after the game, and I won the shirt in the auction, but I actually had to wait over a month to get it because at the time Joe Ledley was injured and the foundation needed him to sign the shirt. before it could be sent out. So they had to wait for him to come back to training before he could sign it.
You're a patient man, Paul. I'll tell you. You've waited a month on Ledley. You've waited about 4 or 5 weeks on your Celtic away jersey getting returned by the thief down in Manchester. But you're a patient man, I'll give you that. So this week, Paul, we've had Bumblebee away kits from the 90s. We've had Beautiful Black away kits that were being auctioned off for charity. You've also got a Samaras Thai scripted jersey and a Neil Lennon shirt from the Henrik Larsson benefit game against Seville. 4 absolutely beautiful jerseys, and we will be sharing pictures of them on the site. Please remind our listeners, Paul, where can we have a look at your incredible collection online?
Well, all the shirts that feature in this and previous podcasts can be viewed at www.myceltic-shirts.co.uk.
You've shared another 4 beautiful shirts, beautiful examples this week, Paul. And I look forward to speaking to you next week, where we can have another look through your remarkable collection.
Cheers, Paul. Thanks for having us on again.
It's always a pleasure, Paul. You take care until we speak again.
Cheers.
Network.